Today, the Department of Education announced some compromises in enforcing the No Child Left Behind law. Many state and local officials have complained bitterly. They say the law undermines states' rights and amounts to an unfunded federal mandate. With today's changes, states still must demonstrate progress in student test scores, but the Education Department is giving some states more flexibility in testing students with disabilities, a key demand from states.
Education Secretary Margaret Spellings wrote the No Child Left Behind law when she was President Bush's chief policy advisor at the White House. She's a close ally from his days as Texas governor. Secretary Spellings, who was sworn in January, is the first mother of school-aged children to lead the department. We sat down with her in her office this morning before she announced the changes.
The law was born about 3 years ago, and just as with children, we've learned some things as our child has grown up, and our child has gone through the terrible twos, and I think we've started to gather data, we've started to gather experience, we've learned from educators, and I think it's time for us to look at some sensible approaches to implementing this new law.
What have you learned?
Well, we've learned that using data to manage the enterprise to improve instruction for kids works and is working. That relying on our research-based practices, particularly with respect to reading and particularly with respect to serving special ed kids, is causing them to focus very specifically and very strategically on the needs of those kids. What I'd like to say is what gets measured gets done, and that's what we're seeing with No Child Left Behind.
There have been concerns and complaints from some of the states. 9 states are considering legislation to either change the program or seek waivers. Has that led to this decision to be more flexible in how the program is run?
You know, I've worked at the state level. I've now worked at the federal level. I've represented local school boards. I've been in the other guy's shoes, and I think it does give me appreciation for what they're struggling with locally. Public education is primarily a state and local responsibility. We know that. We respect that. So I think I'm learning from those experiences and those various vantage points. This law is here to stay. It is for the long haul. And what I'm trying to offer here today is for states to emphasize student achievement, results, closing the achievement gap as the prime directive, and emphasizing results over bureaucratic compliance and process.
If the goal is to be a bit more flexible, help me understand what's non-negotiable and what areas of the program that you're willing to readdress and take a closer look at.
Well, I talk about the bright lines of the statute. Those are annual assessment of every child in grades 3 through 8 in reading and math, and reporting that information in a what we call in education a disaggregated way. That means sorting it by student subgroup so that African American achievement stands separate from Anglo achievement, Hispanic achievement, etc., so that we can focus on the needs of every child and every student group. For far too long in education, we've aggregated results together and let everybody believe that all children were doing well, and that's just not the case. Around the country, we have major gaps in achievement between minority kids and Anglo kids, and we must address that.
You also have gaps in spending from state to state. New York, for instance, spends far more on educating their students than Arizona does. If those kinds of disparities continue, how can President Bush say that every child is getting the education they deserve?
This law is about results. It's about student achievement. The parents in Arizona or Utah or Louisiana, those are parents who want and need to have their kids compete in this ever-competitive world. They need to be on the same levels as their higher-achieving counterparts, and that's what this law focuses on, results for kids.
But you're holding them to the same standard in some cases, but they're
Absolutely.
Not receiving the same level of resources.
Well, as I said, public education is a state and local responsibility, and what we found in Texas and what my own experience is that as consumers, as the public saw results in the schools, they were willing to invest in higher teacher salaries and increased benefits and the like. This is a way for the public to have confidence in the public schools of this country.
You talked about narrowing the gap. Can you point to specific statistics where you've seen a narrowing of the gap in terms of achievement within a school district and within a state?
Absolutely. Every state in the country is showing progress. here in our own backyard, Maryland, they have shown incredible increases in Hispanic achievement, African American achievement. They are really on the move. Ohio, I was just there Tuesday. They're doing some great things. And we're seeing it all over the country. As I said, what gets measured gets done. And this law causes states to focus on the needs of those who've for too long been neglected by our system.
You've become the leader of a department at a moment of crisis, or at least following on the heels of a crisis, where the department hired a commentator to promote one of the Bush administration's initiatives, and where news releases were distributed that looked actually like news reports. Now that you've spent some time here and you understand how the department is run, how did something like that happen, and what will you do to restore credibility and to restore public trust in the department?
Well, I'm working with the Inspector General as he is completing his report. I'm anxious to see that report. I intend to implement the recommendations that he makes for this department that are on point to better oversight, more safeguards. You know, just as we're holding schools accountable, I intend to be accountable for the use of resources around here. And we can do a better job. Mistakes have been made in the past. I recognize that. We're going to put systems and training and procedures in place to avoid this ever happening again.
Secretary Spellings, on the way to your office, I noticed that the hallways are filled with children's art. They're also filled with pictures of schools. Many of them are vintage photographs, and the buildings in those photographs are majestic. And I was struck because when you travel through so many American cities, the schools no longer look like that. The paint is peeling. Students go to school every day in classrooms where, in some cases, the ceiling panels are falling down. We have a principal in Washington, D.C., who wears a surgical mask as he walks through his building because of mold and peeling paint. How can that happen in America?
Well, again, these are issues that states and local school boards struggle with and are working on. I travel around and see schools all the time, and I see a little bit of that. But I do think that schools are investing, and rightfully so, in enhancing education and in quality curriculum and in sound teaching, and that that's been the priority over hardware and desks and things like that. And so it's all a matter of allocating scarce resources, and local school boards struggle with that. And I believe are people of goodwill. They want their kids to be in schools that are fit and are safe, and I know they are working on that.
Secretary Spellings, thank you so much for talking with us.
I appreciate it, Michelle. Thank you.
Secretary of Education Margaret Spellings.